Welcome back to What Do They Know podcast. This week, the guys discuss all the action from the crazy 1 o'clock games and the slow start from Houston. But hey, what do they know?
What do they know? Well, we are about to find out. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the What Do They Know podcast, week 3. Nick and Jeff back with you as always. And Jeff wants to start out by giving you some really great analysis of the Saints game yesterday. So, Jeff, take it away.
Yeah, I turned it off. that's my great analysis.
What a fan.
I mean, at 28-3.
You're a fraud.
No. I mean, playoff baseball is a little bit more important, I feel like, than watching my team.
It tells you two things. One, looking at both of us right now, one, playoff baseball is right around the corner. Two, our football teams suck.
Yeah, no longer keeping pace with the Chiefs.
Neither of us in any ounce of football gear, but that's okay.
Yep.
But hope you all had a great week. We both did not have a great have a great sports week, but we will go in as always and go over some top stories. Had some crazy games yesterday. A lot of good storylines. A lot of injuries that we'll get into. But I will let you kick it off, sir.
Perfect. Yeah, I think the main thing we all always watch football for is for the excitement, especially towards the end of the games. And yeah. I mean, one of my top stories was something that happened in three different games and within the span of 10 minutes, which is block field goals galore.
Isn't that crazy?
I've never seen anything like it, to be honest with you. It was like a pandemic at this point. A forbidden word, apparently. So, but, I mean, we had one in the Eagles and the Rams to finish off that game. Jordan Davis blocked and recovered and set the record for a man weighing 30 plus pounds.
Dude, he was hauling.
Yeah, over 18 miles per hour. That was impressive. So we had that in that game. Obviously, the Bucks and the Jets. Buddy, to bring that one up. But Whit McDonald blocked him field goal attempt from Chase McLaughlin and returned it for a touchdown. So
one of the most athletic plays. Because not only did he block, like Jordan Davis, yeah, he was fast. He was amazing. Mm-hmm. Will McDonald hurtled the center.
Yeah.
Completely.
Nope.
I don't even think he made contact with him. Actually, I think if he did make contact with him, it would have been a penalty.
Right.
Hurtled him, got his own block, and then ran back for the touchdown. That was, I showed you a video. I was in my living room watching that game, and we have a Nest camera in my living room. And so it got my reaction live to watching that game. And I literally was jumping on the couch, scaring my kids, high-fiving them, yelling, clapping. And then the defense blew it.
Yeah, and then Baker Mayfield happened. I hear you.
Bob Wischusen, by the way, anybody who follows me on Facebook, he's the voice of the Jets. He does all their radio games.
Mm-hmm.
What a call he had on that. I went back and found it. The Jets were sharing it. It was all over social media because he was going ballistic. He was absolutely ecstatic. And once again, it was wasted. Shout out, Bob.
Shout out, Bob. And then the third game, Browns and Packers. So this was not a game, an outcome that I foresaw in any future.
No, me either. The Packers were my dad's eliminator challenge pick this week. So sorry about your luck, buddy.
Eliminated.
I'm moving on. Are you moving on?
I wasn't even in that thing.
Sorry,
we're just doing the picks, the straight up picks. But yeah, they blocked the Brandon McManus 43-yard field goal to set themselves up for a 55-yarder. And that's all she wrote for the Cleveland Browns over the Packers. That was pretty impressive.
It's funny because when I watch the Jets game, I only watch the Jets game.
Mm-hmm.
When I'm not, I'll have all four games on or whatever's going on.
Yep.
So I was oblivious to what was going on around the league. And my phone blew up after that play. Like, holy crap, what an amazing play. Can't believe that just happened.
Mm-hmm.
So many people, but then one person was like, dude, this is insane. The same exact thing literally just happened in the Eagles game, and I had no idea.
Right.
So it was pretty crazy that all happened. And I think the time frame between the Eagles and the Jets were like,
yeah,
2.5 minutes.
Yeah.
Like something like super quick.
Yeah, everything was like happening like a domino effect almost. It happened pretty simultaneously.
It's great for football.
Yeah,
I feel like that's the first really good slate of 1 o'clock games that we've had.
Yeah.
So far.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, everything kind of, obviously there were some surprising outcomes like the Browns over the Packers. But at the same time, this is any given Sunday, right?
For sure.
That's why they play the game. Absolutely. So that was my biggest takeaway from week one. All those outcomes, all that excitement. This is what football is all about. And then my second one is the Chargers reaching 3-0 for the first time since 2002, since a man named Drew Brees was their quarterback.
Yeah,
Drew Brees. But yeah, give all the credit to Harbaugh and Herbert. I mean, they've been balling out. Quinn Johnston has become a reliable receiver. Obviously, I feel like a lot of people questioned his hands and his catching ability.
His first 2 years, people thought he was a bust.
Yeah,
and now he's flourishing.
Yep, he's hauling everything right now. Yeah. And then Keenan Allen, kind of like a resurgence there. In LA, so to me, it's been fun to see the Chargers, and honestly, I think they deserve this hoorah. They've played only AFC West opponents, and they won all three games, so they have a stranglehold.
That's crazy. I didn't think about that. 3-0 in the division already.
Yeah, they have a stranglehold in that division already. So it's impressive to see. Herbert leads the league with 860 pass yards, second with six passing touchdowns. I mean, he's well on his way to make a really good case for MVP.
So this just goes to show you how much coaching matters in the NFL, because I said it after their week one game, and they've continued to show that it wasn't just a game plan for week one against the Chiefs. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden, they've completely shifted the identity of their team.
Yeah.
They were a running team that wanted to just punch you in the mouth and run over you. Mm-hmm. And like you just pointed out with Herbert and all those passing yards, they're throwing the ball all over the place this year.
Mm-hmm.
They're a completely different team. And I just think, again, that shows you what a good, competent coaching staff can do is you can shift. Because correct me if I'm wrong, but it's all the same coaches as last year.
Yeah,
it's not like they had a new offensive coordinator or a new shift in mindset or a new regime came in and changed everything. Like, this is the same staff who implemented a completely different strategy and an identity to their team. They went from being able to run the ball down your throat to being to pass it over your head. And it's just really, really impressive.
Yeah, no, I feel like it's definitely a leap of faith for coaching staff to realize how far your strategies can get you. Obviously, they made the playoffs last year, and running the ball down an opponent's throat can only get you so far. I feel like this quarterback driven league at the end of the day, and your quarterback is going to make the difference in the playoffs. And Maybe it is a change in strategy. Maybe it is a change in mindset. But Justin Herbert has, I felt like to me, has proven himself as an upper echelon quarterback. But now this year, I feel like he's proving himself to be part of the elite. To be honest with you,
yeah,
he's making a case to be a top five quarterback.
Yeah, that game yesterday really surprised me. Mm-hmm. I kind of fully expected Denver to come out and assert their dominance a little bit more than they did.
Right.
And it's funny, my brother-in-law and I were talking about the Chargers. It's just it was a weird game. They're a weird team because all of a sudden you look up and they're winning. Like, you look up, like, it's just, you just feel like they didn't do anything crazy. They have, you know, like we talked about already, a great passing attack.
Mm-hmm.
But I think what it comes down to is they're in control.
Yeah.
Even when they're not winning, they're right there. They're chipping away.
Yeah.
And then before you know it, they have that big explosive play like to Quentin Johnson or to Keenan Allen or McConkey or, you know, whatever. It's just very impressive. Very, very impressive.
Yeah. And these are games like we would talk about earlier in the year. They'd find ways to lose.
Correct.
And I feel like it was a blessing in disguise to have the Chiefs week one and not. Maybe it's even
not blow it.
Yeah, not blow it. And even more so, maybe not even the I guess the pressure of being either on your home field or in Kansas City. I think being outside of the country in general with a bunch of fans and a neutral site might have helped them out a little bit. And, you know, then they don't have the pressures of playing on the road, or maybe there's more Kansas City Chiefs fans in L.A. than there are Chargers fans. Obviously, L.A. isn't really established for Chargers fans. They're probably more leaning towards the Rams. But to me, I'm happy for the Chargers overall.
Yeah,
I really am.
Now I'm gonna say this.
Oh no!
Next week is if there's such thing as a trap game, Next week is a trap game. They're 3-0 in their division. They just knocked off the Broncos. They're going to the East Coast early game against an 0-3 Giants team who may or may not be starting Jackson Dart, a desperate team to get a win. That, to me, is a big, big trap game. So I'm not saying that I am going to pick the Giants.
Right.
But it wouldn't surprise me one bit if that's all of a sudden we're sitting here praising the Chargers and then they lay an egg on the East Coast against the Giants.
Right. Yeah.
I'm gonna bookmark that for next week.
Ooh, okay.
No. so my first top story is equally surprising to me in the opposite direction. And that's the fact that the Houston Texans are 0-3.
Yeah.
And you know, they just don't look right on offense. So for their three games, they've scored 9, 19, and 10 points.
Yeah.
Respectively. And I don't know what is going on. CJ Stroud doesn't look comfortable. He doesn't look like he's in a rhythm at all. You know, thankfully, Nico Collins has still been great. He's able to put up some numbers. They still have their connection. He had like a 60-yard touchdown yesterday. But I really wonder what's going on with him. And I don't have the analysis, but this is the probably for me the biggest shock in the NFL right now is the fact that they're 0-3.
Yeah, I'm not sure if it's a CJ Stroud, a D'Amico Ryans, or what's going on. They moved on from their offensive coordinator from last year in Bobby Slowick, and they bring in Nick Cayley from LA, I believe, with the Rams. So I mean, the offensive coordinator only has three games underneath him. Well, at this point, do you pull the trigger on the offensive coordinator who only has three games under his belt?
I don't think that's the move.
There's no way. No. I agree with you. There's no way you can pull that trigger on that one. D'Amico Ryans, however, I feel like every incompletion CJ Stroud makes, his seat gets a little bit warmer because he was gifted a really good, I feel like a really a franchise type quarterback in his first year, and he took him to the playoffs, but it's just been downhill ever since for CJ Stroud. Is it the offensive line issue? Is he just getting sacked a lot? I can't say one way or the other, but I feel like D'Amico Ryans needs to figure this out. He needs an answer.
Yeah, and I feel like they're trying to piece it together in the run game with Damian Pierce, who I actually think was out this week, and they have Nick Chubb. I really wonder if we're underestimating the value of Joe Mixon because he's on IR for at least the first 4 weeks. They're very non-committal about when he's coming back, but he really, in his first year last year with Houston, was like a spark plug the first 10 or 11 weeks.
Yeah.
Put up crazy good numbers with catching the ball out of the backfield, scoring touchdowns left and right, running for over 100 yards. And I just wonder if they just don't have the balance that they need because he's not out there.
Yeah.
They're also missing Tank Dell. Dalton Schultz has like disappeared in the past game.
Yeah.
So they just it's very, very odd. And again, this was the division that I feel like most people had the most confidence in, as far as, you know, predicting who would win it.
Right.
And so I
mean, talk about an 0-3 team that's not out of it yet.
Correct.
like, that's crazy to me.
Yeah, and here's what I was literally just going to say next to your point is, thankfully for them, they have a phenomenal defense that will keep them in most games and keep them in. I mean, every single game was a one-score game.
Right.
So they're, I mean,
lost by one.
They're not getting blown out. Yeah, one to Tampa Bay. I think it was like 3 or 4 points to the Rams in week one. And then they lost by a touchdown against Jacksonville yesterday.
Yeah.
So their defense is going to keep them in almost every game.
Yeah.
It's just a matter of what CJ Stroud needs to do to figure it out. But definitely a huge surprise for me.
Yeah, it's got to be frustrating for the defense at this point to see your offense just trudge. Basically trying to trudge mud out there. And I mean, at what point do you feel like injuries or just lack of confidence in your offense and all of a sudden it becomes a locker room issue where everything just falls apart for Houston? To me, it might get dangerously close if they don't make up ground by the halfway mark.
Yeah, and I think they have Tennessee this week.
Yeah.
So that could be a get-right game. But again, you have a desperate, hungry Tennessee team with a rookie quarterback who's looking to get his first win, and it's a divisional game. So
yeah,
every division game is tough, but there is so much pressure for them. Yeah. This is a must win.
Oh, I agree. You lose to Tennessee, I don't know where you go from there.
Yeah, it's not going to be good.
Yep.
And then my second one is just had a lot of injury, three big injuries that I can think of off the top of my head yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
So James Conner had the running back for the Cardinals had a really ugly, from what I heard, I refuse to look at it because I don't like stuff like that.
Yeah,
really ugly ankle injury. He's out for the season. He's going to need surgery. CeeDee Lamb had not as bad as what it looked. I did see that one. That one, never seen an ankle go 90 degrees to the right like that.
Yeah, and not be broken.
Correct.
It's sprained, apparently.
But high ankle sprain.
Yeah.
So he's going to more than likely be out at least this week. I know Jerry Jones said today that he's a candidate for IR, which means he would miss the next 4 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And then Nick Bosa from the Niners tore his ACL.
Mm-hmm.
So he's out for the year. So three big injuries. I feel like prior to these, the first 2 weeks have been relatively unnoticeable, at least from a big name injury standpoint.
Right.
Minus Joe Burrow, maybe.
Yeah. Nothing like season ending.
Right.
In terms of anyone, you know, huge.
But out of those three, who do you think is going to make the biggest impact, or which team is going to notice their absence the most?
That's a good question. For me, it's
very easy.
James Conner.
Just
because of his presence in the locker room.
His locker room presence, and quite honestly, the Cardinals are already struggling offensively.
Yeah.
And he's the one constant.
Yeah.
You know he's going to score. You know he's going to catch the ball out of the backfield. And so I'm really concerned for the Cardinals after this injury. They have Trey Benson, who's relatively unproven.
Mm-hmm.
He's gonna have to step up in a big way. I know he had a couple nice runs yesterday after Conner went out, but for me that's 100% the biggest one out of the three.
Yeah. I mean, 49ers still have a defense to be reckoned with. They can still survive that injury. And obviously in Dallas, you have George Pickens, but the CeeDee Lamb might be the biggest impact for me in a way. I might create an argument for it just because of the volume CeeDee Lamb gets and how important he is to that offense. And I mean, their defense has just been atrocious, to be honest with you. Their defense has just been bad.
Really bad.
And to not have your number one receiver to kind of deal with shootouts, I am now worried for the Cowboys, to be honest with you. I don't know where they go with the targets now, whether they become a straight run team with Javonte Williams and Miles Sanders. But honestly, George Pickens being your number one, especially with the kind of tirade.
It didn't work in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, and he's starting to show his frustrations out on the sidelines. It's going to become a little tough for Dallas until CeeDee Lamb comes back, I feel like.
Yeah, agreed.
Yep.
Agreed. All right, jumping over to our overreaction segment. So what's your first one?
My first one is the Bengals need a trade for Cousins right now.
Yeah.
Obviously, we spoke highly of Jake Browning. I mean, he was, I believe, 4-3 as a starter in 2023. So he was serviceable. But, I mean, to go out there and lead the league in interceptions with five or six quarters under your belt in the season, that's a little rough to me. He either has to figure it out or the Bengals are going to waste another year of Joe Burrow. And it might, like we've talked about, it might be the last year of Joe Burrow if he pulls an Andrew Luck. So it's unfortunate for the Bengals right now, but their offensive line just cannot block anybody.
That's the thing, is I wonder between their offensive line and the fact that their defense gave up a million points yesterday.
Yeah.
How much, like, I almost wonder if they would think it secretly, they'll never say this, right? But secretly, do they think it's worth giving up assets to get a quarterback, whether it's a Jameis Winston, whether it's a Kirk Cousins,
mm-hmm.
just to continue to lose games?
Yeah.
I know that's what no fan wants to hear, right? Every Bengal mm-hmm. fan is like, screw that, you know,
go
get whoever you need to be competitive.
Right.
And rightly so as a fan, but as an owner, as a GM, like, I wonder if this is a time where they're able to take a step back and say, look, Burrow shields us from a lot of those things,
mm-hmm.
but without him, we have to take this season for what it is. I don't know.
Yeah, it's a rough position because, I mean, you've invested so much money into that offense. Trey Hendrickson over on defense. Can you even justify throwing away the year when you've already invested as much money as you have?
Well, and they're still...
They're 2-1, I believe.
They're 2-1.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we're sitting here talking like they're...
0-3 or something.
Yeah, but they're still right there. That was an ugly game. That was a Brian Flores coming after a backup quarterback.
That's what that was.
So, who knows? Maybe next week... I think they play the Broncos Monday night, if I'm not mistaken. There's a doubleheader next week. Who knows? Maybe we're going to sit here and say, look, the Vikings game was just a fluke. Browning can still ball out, and the Bengals are going to be good. I don't know, but I almost, you know, when you get blown out that bad, it's almost like, okay, do you just have to say, you know, that's a fluke, that's not reality, or is it a bigger issue?
Yeah, honestly, I do not envy the GM of the Bengals right now. That is a position I do not want to make any decisions in. I don't think there's a right or wrong answer, but I think it's just filled with wrong answers, to be honest with you. There's nothing you can do that's going to stabilize that ship anytime soon, I feel like. But yeah, then my second overreaction had to deal with the Houston Texans, which we just covered. So, I mean, CJ Stroud, I put equals bust, question mark. DeMeco Ryans equals get out of here, question mark. Like we talked about, I have no idea where to finger point, to be honest with you, but something has to be done there in Houston.
Yeah, and I hope they do because I like both those guys.
Yeah.
All right, so my first one is that the coach of the year and the comeback player of the year will come from the same team in the Indianapolis Colts. Shane Steichen and Daniel Jones. They just continue to really shock me.
Yeah.
Shock the NFL. And if this continues, I don't know how you don't put them right up there for both of those awards, because it's not like Jones is a product of the system. The dude is putting up numbers.
Right.
He's slinging the ball all over the place. He's getting Michael Pittman involved. Warren, their rookie tight end, has had really good production his first three games. And Steichen is the one that really, you know, took Jones in, has been able to mold this offense around him. I don't know how you don't look at both of those guys as front runners for those awards.
Yeah, I feel like that's not an overreaction at all. And with Daniel Jones, I mean, that's setting up Jonathan Taylor to ball out.
He's having a phenomenal season already.
Yep. So, I mean, that offensive line is definitely more than serviceable, especially with Quentin Nelson there. I'll mention him every time we talk about the Colts because he deserves that praise. But, yeah, Daniel Jones has been doing what – honestly, I didn't envision him having in him when he was in New York. I feel like he didn't show this much promise in New York. Whether that's because of the coaching, whether that's because of lack of confidence. But to be honest with you, this is a Daniel Jones that I never envisioned seeing. And I mean, we were both down on the Colts in our preseason.
I think we both had him finishing last.
Yeah. So, to me, Daniel Jones has just been a monster. He's been justifying his draft slot. He's been showing the talent that made him a top 10 pick.
Number six
overall. It's showing what the New York Giants saw in him. It's just too bad that the Giants couldn't put an adequate team or coaching staff around him.
Yeah. So from a fantasy perspective, the Colts have gotten to the point now where like I'm starting Michael Pittman.
Oh yeah.
Every week.
Yep.
Which that just shows you how much faith I have in Daniel Jones and what he's been able to do.
Right.
To your point, and I know we talked about this a little bit last week with Brian Daboll, but the more I thought about it yesterday, last night, watching the Giants, I feel like it makes Joe Shane, the GM of the Giants, look just as bad, if not worse, than Brian Daboll in the fact that they had Saquon Barkley. They let him go. He ran for 2,000 yards.
Yep.
They let Daniel Jones go. He's 3-0 and looks like a completely different quarterback with the Colts.
Yep.
They kept Brian Daboll, who just doesn't look like he can make adjustments, doesn't look like he can manage a game, doesn't look like he can instill smarts into his players. It's baffling to me that it seems like they completely held on to the wrong piece.
Yeah. Yeah. I think we always revert back to that clip of where the owner talked about if Barkley signed with the Eagles, that was going to keep him up at night. And it ended up happening. To me, yeah, I feel like a lot of the blame goes on the GM there in New York. He hasn't been able to build a competent team there. And you had Daniel Jones and Saquon Barkley, who are both epic, almost franchise corners of their respective franchises now. Like, Daniel Jones is now up in that upper echelon now. They're in Indianapolis to maybe get a long-term deal there and be their almost long time, especially since they gave up on Anthony Richardson.
Well, I was just going to say, Anthony Richardson is an afterthought at this point.
Yeah. There's no reason for Anthony Richardson to you know, be considered the franchise guy there anymore. It's done. It's over with. It's Daniel Jones' team now. And with Saquon Barkley, he's living it up over in Philadelphia. He won a Super Bowl ring there already. I mean, there's not much left for him to prove there, even though he's only been there a year and three games. So, I mean, to the Giants, this must just be absolute just disgust to New York Giants fans everywhere. I would want to skip over Sundays, to be honest with you, if I'm a Giants fan. Like, don't even bring up the team. Like, just get them out of here. That's it's been bad.
Yeah, and I think it's just a ticking time bomb.
Yeah.
In New York, I really do.
Yeah.
And then my second one, so the Giants one, that was kind of a bonus overreaction, but Baker Mayfield is the most underrated quarterback in the NFL.
Yeah.
Like, the dude is just a winner. And if you've known me, like, I love Baker Mayfield.
Yep.
I wanted the Jets to draft him when he was coming out. I was the biggest Baker Mayfield fan. I just said he has it. And I'm for him, I'm really glad that, because they probably would have ruined him. But he, you know, he's bounced around. He has found a spot in Tampa, and the dude just makes plays. I mean, yesterday he was down 3/5 of his offensive line.
Mm-hmm.
Chris Godwin didn't play. Mike Evans got hurt very early on with a hamstring injury, so he missed most of the game. And he just continued to make plays. He has their 3-0 with three game winning drives.
Yeah.
The defense has given it up in some form or fashion all three games, and they have marched right down the field in under 2 minutes in all of them for wins. And so his stats so far this year, he's 61 of 99, which is a 62% completion percentage, which is great. 615 yards. He's got 6 touchdowns, no interceptions, and he has a rating of 99.5.
Ooh.
I mean, the dude is just, and I still feel like he doesn't get his credit. He doesn't get talked about. I feel like Tampa Bay as a whole doesn't really get talked about. And I'll be the first to say, I picked Atlanta this year. I thought that this was the year that Tampa was going to take a step back, and they just continue to be dominant.
Yeah, no, I mean, everything you described about Baker Mayfield is signs of a leader. Like, it's more.
He's just got swag.
Yeah,
he just doesn't care. Yeah. You just feel like he's going to go make a play for you.
Yeah, I mean, the clip that is like resounding when I think about Baker Mayfield now is when he gets injured and he hears someone talking smack and he gets right back up. Like, what you say?
Yeah.
Like, watch me lead this game winning drive right now,
yep,
right in your face.
Yep.
And that's Baker Mayfield in a nutshell. And it's. It took me a little while, I'll admit, to get around the Baker Mayfield bandwagon.
Baker's my boy.
Baker's your boy. But yeah, it's one of those things where maybe he doesn't put up like those stats like Drew Brees or Peyton Manning. He's not like the prototypical quarterback you think back in our heyday, 10, 15 years ago. But Baker Mayfield, he knows how to lead a team. He knows how to lead a drive, a game-winning drive at that. And he knows how to put his team in a position to win. And he's done that every single game. He's had the weapons he's needed and that maybe he didn't have back in Cleveland. I mean, Mike Evans has been a cornerstone for him throughout his tenure there. Amika Egbuka is
he's going to be a stud.
He's solidifying himself in that offense.
Watching that game yesterday, he made some plays, and he made at least one or two against Sauce Gardner, who, you know, top five corner in the NFL.
Right. Yep. And then in the backfield, you got Rashad White and Bruce Irving. It's just one of those things where Tampa has built their team right. And it's taken a lot of years, even back when Tom Brady was there. I feel like Bruce Arians and Todd Bowles have kind of like carried the baton and solidified that entire organization, especially in a weak NFC South division where you don't have too much competition. Like you said, Atlanta was probably their biggest form of competition. I just want to say, Michael Penix, he looked like a right-handed quarterback throwing left-handed yesterday. I was watching that game. I was like, what are you – that like, wow. I don't know what happened there.
Also, your Panthers did it to you again.
I don't recognize that team at all.
Oh, my God. Jeff has picked against the Panthers all 3 weeks.
Well, I picked actually four of them week one, and they I don't even – they lost. And then I picked against them, and they covered the spread the second week against the Cardinals, and they trounced Atlanta 30-0 in this past week. Yeah,
it's becoming personal.
They win. Yeah. Right. I'm throwing in the towel on this one. I don't want to talk about the Panthers ever again on this show. Oh, man. But, yeah, Michael Penix was just rough. But back to Baker Mayfield, my boy Baker. Yep, he's definitely underrated. I don't know why. Maybe because he has that Cleveland Brown stain to begin his career, but I feel like he's washed it away for me.
Yeah, he played. I think the big thing, one of the many things I love about him is he plays with a chip on his shoulder.
Yeah,
like it does. Like, for example, you know, he was asked after the game yesterday, like, did it mean something for you guys playing for Todd Bowles against his former team? Obviously, he was the coach for the Jets for, I want to say, you know, 2 or 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
Ended up getting fired, and he's like, well, yeah, but their defensive coordinator is also the guy that cut me in Carolina.
Yeah.
So like right away, like it was personal. Like it meant something. And he's able to find that, it seems like, with every single team. I mean, there's clips of him in college, like getting into it with opposing fans, getting into it with other players.
Yeah.
So he has the it factor, man. And, right. And I'm happy for him. I love watching him play, mm-hmm. obviously, except for when he's playing against the Jets like yesterday, but
right.
The dude's just a baller.
Yeah, I agree wholeheartedly.
Okay. All right, we will jump over to our power rankings. I got a couple shakeups this week, but I'll let you take it over.
Okay. Yeah, the Packers are out of the top five for me.
Agreed.
You can't lose to the Browns and recover from that on the same weeks, but I got the Bills number one, 3-0. They've looked impressive all 3 weeks with the comeback win, obviously against the Ravens week one, and just showing out the past 2 weeks. I got the Chargers number two. They're up there with me. Number three, the Eagles. Number four, the Bucks, and then number five, the Colts. So okay. All impressive teams to me.
So, yeah, I agree with most of that.
Mm.
Also, side note, I'm feeling really good about my Super Bowl prediction.
Oh, yeah. Can you remind us what that is again?
The Bills over the Eagles.
Bills over the Eagles. Gotcha.
So both of those teams look amazing.
Yeah.
So I have the Bills number one. I have the Eagles number two. I have the Chargers number three. I got the Colts four. And I know they lost, but I kept the Rams at five. The Rams were, I want to say, where did I have them last week? I had the Rams number three.
Mm-hmm.
So they took a little bit of a slide down for me, but, you know, they were a blocked field goal away from winning that game.
Yeah.
And not for nothing, they were up double digits for a good portion of that game.
Mm-hmm.
The offense was able to move the ball on a very good Eagles defense. Stafford looked great. Kyren Williams looked great. Devontae Adams caught a long touchdown. So I kept them in there over the Bucks.
Well, at the end of the day, I think you're a Rams guy and I'm a Bucks guy. Yeah. I mean, we've established that. I feel like, yeah, since week one. Yeah. But I mean, overall, I can't blame you for putting the Rams in there.
All right. And then, our fantasy part of the show, what do you got for us this week?
So I'm actually going to give you three receivers names and I'm going to see if you trade for or trade away.
Ooh, I love this.
Yeah, so three big names, three kind of letdowns. But Jamar Chase, would you trade for or would you trade away?
That's that's a great name. So the question for me is, who's gonna trade for him?
Well, someone who's probably looking for upside. I know Joe Burrow's going to be back around during maybe playoff time. maybe looking for a little buy low concept there. I mean, he has 21 receptions on 27 targets, 241 yards and a TD. His biggest, obviously, outing was last week for 14 receptions, 165, and the lone touchdown of the year against Jacksonville. Obviously, you got Drake Browning there. It's looking a little rough, but I mean, like we talked about last week, Drake Browning does like to sling the ball. Whether he can get Ja'Marr Chase involved to a degree that maybe Ja'Marr Chase and Zach Taylor are in agreement with, maybe it's a little buy low and a little bit of a risk, but a little bit of rolling the dice on that one. But yeah.
So if I have Ja'Marr Chase, I'm holding on to him.
You're holding on to him.
I don't think that the value that you would get in return outweighs the boom potential that he has.
So, okay.
So, I guess to answer your question, I would trade for him. I would not trade him.
Right.
Away.
Perfect. Okay. My second name, Terry McLaurin. So, so he only has 10 receptions in the year. 10 out of 17 targets, only 149 yards. And his biggest game came yesterday. 3 receptions for 74 yards. Obviously, the biggest chunk of that was, I believe, like a 54-yard reception with Mariota as your quarterback. So, I'm not sure how long Jaden Daniels is going to be out. But, I mean, it's nice to see Mariota at least take a deep shot with Terry McLaurin there. But this is another potential buy low candidate that maybe some people might be a little wary of even starting at this point.
Yeah, so don't ask me why, because I don't have a real defined answer for you, but I've never been a Terry McLaurin guy.
Mm-hmm.
Every single year when it's fantasy draft time and I see his name on the list, I'm going to pass over him. I don't know why. I just have never had the trust that he's going to be that wide receiver one.
Mm-hmm.
And now, like you said, with Mariota, I'd be trading him away.
Trading him away. Perfect. All right. And then my last name is Malik Nabers. So he's getting volume, but he is not getting a ton of receptions. He's 16 for 32, so 16 receptions on 32 targets, 251 yards, 2 TDs. Both those touchdowns came last week against Dallas.
Most of those 250 yards came against Dallas,
too. 167 of them. Yep, you're 100% correct. So it's going to be one of those things where what Russell Wilson are you going to get, and at what point do they put in Jackson Dart, and what sort of relationship does he have with Jackson Dart there on the offense? So, I mean, obviously after that 2-touchdown game being only last week, there's some value to be had there if you're going to trade him away. But at the same time, are you rolling the dice on him and trading for him?
Yeah, I'm keeping him, I would trade for him if I could.
Right.
I think, you know, I had him last year, and you know, early on, he really didn't put up the yards, but he was still getting you 6, 7, 8 catches a game.
Yeah.
And if you have a PPR league, that's money.
Right.
Right. Like, even if you have 8 catches for 50 yards, that's double. That's 13 points. That's
30
double
points.
Digits.
Yep.
And realistically, a receiver of his caliber, those 8 targets or those 8 catches are going to end up being more yards than that.
Mm-hmm.
He was blanketed last night.
Yeah.
Against the Chiefs, they played phenomenal coverage on him. They kept showing clips on Sunday Night Football of all the bracket coverage that they had, you know, in front of him with a linebacker and then safety help in the back or corner or whatever. So they, who knows, you know, maybe they found the recipe to defend him, but that dude is electric.
Yeah.
And I just think that the volume, the targets alone are worth either hanging on to or trading for him if you can.
Yeah, and one of the things I want to point out is whenever, like, head coach gets fired, the new guy always comes in and just goes to old reliable, and they know who their stars are, and they try to focus on giving them the ball, because obviously they don't want to look like absolute failures and not knowing what they're doing and not giving their all pros the ball. So I feel like if or when Brian Daboll gets fired, I feel like whoever comes in and instills a philosophy on the offensive side, I feel like Malik Nabers is just going to explode. I feel like he's going to be the focal point of that offense. Scatabo as well.
Forks up.
Yep. I feel like he's going to be.
Tyrone Tracy dislocated his shoulder.
Yeah.
So it's going to be the Scatabo show for the next few weeks. I'm pumped for him.
Yep. So like I said, offensive rookie of the year last week. it's potential that they might, especially with their defense being not as I guess is electric. I feel like that they should be. They might be on some games where some shootouts may occur, like they did with Dallas, and I feel like that's going to set up Malik Nabers really, really well. So yeah, I'd be trading for him as well.
I agree. Yep. Dude, I love that segment. That was a great idea.
Thanks.
All right, so we will wrap up our show by doing our picks. And as good of an idea as that segment just was, your worst idea ever was to change our locks to where they had to cover the spread because we suck picking teams to cover the spread.
Yeah.
I all 3 weeks have picked the correct team to win as my lock, but none of them have covered. 3 weeks in a row. This week I picked the Bucks -6.5. And of course, you know, they ended up kicking a game winning field goal to win by 3.
Right.
So,
you're welcome.
Yeah. Thanks, buddy. So last week, what did I do? I went 1-2. So I had Tampa over the Jets. Like I said, they did not cover. I had the Steelers over the Pats as my upset.
Okay.
So they
covered.
They
for
got
you.
Me there. Yeah. And then I picked the Rams over the Eagles in our game of the week.
Right.
So that made me 1-2. So I am 3-6 overall.
Nice. Fantastic. Well, let's look. I don't want to look at it, but let's look at it. My lock was the Falcons over the Panthers. Yikes.
Good Lord.
Yikes.
You should get negative points for that one.
I won't even blame you on that. And then my upset was the Cowboys or the Bears. So Caleb Williams showed out. Roman Dunze, he's solidifying his role as number one receiver there.
Yeah, how about me saying that he was my stay away in the NFC North?
Probably is as good of a
bad take.
Good take as my Puka Nacua stay away from the NFC West. What do we know, right? And then, but I did pick the Eagles over the Rams, so that saved me a bit of a heartache on that.
So 1-2 as
one
well.
1-2.
All right. Oh. Yeah, this whole cover the spread thing blows.
we might have to revert eventually.
All right, I'm gonna go first this week.
Okay.
I guess.
I suppose.
So my lock is the and you know what I'm doing now? It might not even be teams that I actually have confidence in. I'm looking for low spreads. That's what it is. Like,
just win.
Just win. Just freaking win. So, like, for example, I'm taking the Ravens over the Chiefs as my lock. The spread, Ravens got to win by 2.5. So, they got to win by a field goal.
Well, I mean, that's kind of what I did last week with the Falcons over the Panthers, 3.5. Look at what that planned out for me.
So, Ravens -2.5 over the Chiefs is my lock. My upset, I'm taking the Cardinals over the Seahawks. Seahawks are favored by 1.5. Thursday night football, it's in Arizona. They're breaking out their NFL rivalry uniforms, which don't tell me that doesn't mean anything because there's something about a new uniform that brings momentum to a team and to a fan base. They had a tough loss against San Francisco. They really should have won that game.
Yeah.
And I feel like the Cardinals play well in primetime for the most part.
Okay.
So they're my upset. And then our game of the week, we decided was what? It's Tampa at the Eagles. So we're running it back with the Eagles.
That's in Tampa, isn't it?
Is it in Tampa?
I believe it's in Tampa.
Awesome. Well, that makes me feel even better about the fact that I'm taking Tampa.
Oh, okay.
So I take Tampa over the Eagles.
Well, we're actually matching up on that one. I actually took Tampa over the Eagles just because it's in Tampa. And I mean, that's the only reason I took the Eagles over the Rams, because it was in Philadelphia, to be honest. I felt like a West Coast team going over to a very hostile environment in Philadelphia was it is what it is. But Tampa Bay, I feel like Baker Mayfield has that team just rolling right now. And for the Eagles to roll in there, I think Tampa, especially with all the scrutiny with the tush push right now,
dude,
I feel like it's a lot of head noise.
We haven't talked about that.
Uh-huh.
Something's got to change. I have nothing against, like, when they voted not to ban it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Like I'm fine with that, but you have to police it.
Yeah.
Because they're jumping off. They're having false starts almost every single time.
Yeah. I mean, I think the Saints tried doing a tush push and they got called for a false start. And I was like, this just sums up my team right here. Like, this is the difference between a championship caliber team and the Saints.
I mean, it's ridiculous because, like, they can have their whole offensive line go early.
Yeah.
But freaking Juwan Taylor for the Chiefs, the dude never gets called for a false start and he's off. He's early every single time.
Yep.
Nope. So that play, man, I feel like it's bringing so much controversy. It's a boring play.
Yeah.
Like I get why people don't, I mean, but just stop it. Find a way to stop it. But at the same time, run it, correctly, police it correctly.
Right.
Is my thing.
Yeah. I mean, putting yourself from a fourth and one to a fourth and six, obviously, will change up the dynamic of a game. And I mean, it'll be less tush pushes across the way. But yeah, it's I mean, I get it as well. I understand your viewpoint, but I don't know. I'm not a fan of it, to be honest with you. Like you said, it's a very boring play. Well, alas. My lock. I know you talked about the trap game, Chargers and the Giants. I actually am taking the Chargers
over
the Giants.
Oh, boy.
I did not
know that when I said that earlier.
In my head. I was like, boy.
So it was -6.5, right?
Yeah, -6. Yeah, I got -6.
Okay. All right.
6.5. I mean, they still have to win by a touchdown. Nope.
Okay.
So I don't know. I'm just not trusting the Giants offense right now. And I don't know. Upset. I mean, I looked at all the games and I'm not a fan of any of them.
I know. To be honest with you. Same way.
But I'm going with the Jags over the 49ers.
Okay.
And I feel like the Jags are rolling a little on house money right now. 49ers, they just lost a vocal leader and a leader overall in Bosa. So, I mean, the Jags, although they're traveling over to the West Coast, I feel like they might pull up a little bit of a shocker.
Okay. So I like it.
That's where I'm at.
All right. Well, what's the spread there again on your lock? Oh, six.
Six.
Okay.
Yep.
That's the
TD.
Dude, it's horrible.
Honestly, at this point, after the Panthers game, I don't know anything.
It's just become comical.
Yeah.
It's only 3 weeks in, and it tells you how good or how hard it is to, like, bet on football.
Oh, yeah.
And bet on spreads.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah, spreads are awful. Honestly, whatever I did bets, I just did money line.
Correct.
I am not doing anything with spreads because there's no way.
Right. Yep. Agreed. All right. Well, that'll do it for week 3. Hope you guys enjoyed. As always, feel free to send in any questions, topics. Jeff's segment about fantasy football, would you trade for him, trade him away, I thought was amazing. If you guys have anything like that, let us know. And hopefully this time next week, both of us will still be wearing our
baseball
gear. Because baseball playoffs will be in full effect. We got 1 week left. Go Yanks, go D-backs.
Yeah, the Saints are playing the Bills this week, so I need something to root for, and I'm hoping the D-backs sneak in.
So the Jets are going to be part of arguably the worst Monday Night Football game ever. the 0-3 Jets at the 0-3 Dolphins.
Sign me right up.
Yeah, we'll more than likely recording next week during that. So maybe we'll get some live reaction from yours truly, which I've been told is just people love that.
Mm-hmm.
How I am so quick to unleash terror on them. So, all right.
Perfect.
We will talk to you guys next week, and we hope you enjoyed.
Yep. Go D-backs.
We want to hear from you. Stir up some conversation or controversy and reach out to us on our social media platforms to add to the weekly conversations.